Proverbs chapter 7. Hallelujah. We're going to take a little journey today. I like these journeys. This actually kind of activated this message is my partner in Florida had a dream, and in this dream he had died, and he was kind of concerned about it. You have to be able to interpret dreams properly. Amen? But in this dream he had died, and he was reborn. And he was reborn inside of a woman. That'd be kind of weird for a man, wouldn't it? He's in there, and he's inside of a woman, and he's walking around inside a woman. He's trying to get the interpretation. I actually had this particular interpretation for him. I'm going to share that as we go today and what this interpretation entailed. But it activated this message again. The Lord had been having me in this all week. It was a secret. What I'm about to share to you was the secret to Solomon's mantle. It was the secret to his entire life before his fall. Nobody ever in the Bible did what Solomon did. God so exceedingly blessed him in so many ways, with so many rivers running through him. I mean, he was a poet, he was a psalmist, he was a preacher, he was a businessman like no other businessman. He was a king, he was a priest. He worshiped God. He brought the kings of the earth to the tabernacle of God. The manifest glory was with him. The Shekinah glory was with him. I mean, the Queen of Sheba just completely lost it when she came into the presence of Solomon and saw the government of God. It was a foreshadowing of what our government was supposed to look like, and saw the administration of the priests and the administration of the government, the glory and the wisdom and the prosperity. She looked at the whole thing as ivory throne with 12 golden lions, and she lost it. She had no more spirit left in her. She was caught up in the magnificence, and that glory caught her up. And I believe the Lord's returning the church to the Shekinah glory of God in this hour. And the secret to Solomon's mantle was actually hidden in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is really God's business mind. It's how to do business in the spirit. But there was a secret embedded into this book. And without the laws of meditation, you wouldn't be able to pull it out. But thank God for the laws of meditation. Amen. And it's actually embedded in chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. The secret of his mantle is embedded in there. We were very heavily in this in the beginning of our ministry, and we're still there, amen? And the wisdom, his mantle of wisdom was more than just knowledge and understanding. He was mantled, and believe this is what the dream was speaking of, because once you get into the book of Proverbs, you're going to find that wisdom takes on a personality. Wisdom takes on the personality of a woman, actually. And she speaks in first person like she's God. Go to chapter 1, and I'll show you this. Then we'll go to chapter 7. Get ready to have your eyes go pow. I believe we're entering into the days of this level of fellowship. Proverbs 1, verse 20 says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words." Now, for us, these gates in the city is not so much the gates of our city. These are spiritual gates, but she's still standing in those gates. There, all the concourse of a city, all the business, the commerce of a city was done at the gates. Everything, even the preachers sat at the gates. They prophesied at the gates. They did business. They did commerce at the gates. Everything that was done in the city was done at the gates. Well, God's gates are still there. They're just in the spirit now. And wisdom sits in those gates. But there's another woman that sits there too. She sits in a little lower place, and we'll show you that. So she crieth in the chief place of the concourse, verse 22. "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." Look at the verse 23. Very powerful verse here. "Turn you at my reproof." Now, this is forever recorded in the Bible as scripture here. She's going to speak in first person singular in the stead of God. What she say? "Turn you my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And the book of Proverbs is filled with the words of this proverbial woman of wisdom. Solomon saw wisdom as a person. He fellowshiped with wisdom. It went beyond the kind of wisdom what you believe wisdom is. Went beyond knowledge and understanding. Beyond head knowledge or even having wisdom to function, operate in the world. It was a heavenly wisdom. It was a heavenly relationship. And he looked upon, and actually wisdom described herself as the woman. And we're going to see this very heavy in chapter 7, 8, and 9. So I'm thinking, okay, I believe in the Trinity here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But who was this other one up here? But you have to understand that God's just taking on something you can understand in your natural mind. He's explaining a relationship. But wisdom was indeed a person. But that person was revealing herself in a feminine attribute that Solomon understood. It was very secret to his mantle. And you're not going to really understand this fully until you open up chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. But before we look at chapter 8, we're going to look at chapter 7. Because there was another woman. It was the war of two women. And that war is still going on today. Competing for the affections of your heart. Competing for your life. Who's going to control you? Wisdom will never seek to control. She'll always stand back and wait. But there's another woman, a harlot. And this harlot, she's after you. Go to chapter 7, we'll look at her. I understand the first level of understanding. This is speaking of a natural harlot. But we're not looking at that level of wisdom. We're looking at the embedded wisdom today. We're going to look at what's embedded in the scripture. The secret to Solomon's mantle. Who wisdom was. What wisdom would do for you. The struggle between the two women. Who were these women? What was their purpose? Got your attention now. So let's look at Proverbs 7, verse 1. It said, my son, keep my words. Have we been talking about that? Keep my words? Because keeping God's words, I have a whole series now. We just put it in a little series called The Dynamics of Keeping His Word. You need to understand what that actually means. Keeping his word is not opening your Bible and reading it. That is not keeping his word. Keeping his word is a very lost art that Solomon spoke about, David spoke about, Moses spoke about, Paul spoke about it, Jesus spoke about it. It was one of the highest operations in God in the entire known Bible. It's actually a form of prayer, actually, if you want to know the truth about it. But keeping God's word, in these last 8 months, I've experienced more of God than I have in the last 20 years. I haven't told you a lot, but he's working a lot of things, but I'm going to share some of it with you when he's finished. Amen. The enemy will seek to control your life at all cost. If he can't get to you, he will get people around you to get to you. There's spiritual relations, there's soulless relations, there's carnal relationships. There's relationships with the soul that are healthy. In the work, you connect with people in the soul, in the marketplace. Then there's destructive and there's dangerous relationships. And sometimes you can't see it, even as preachers can't see it. Sometimes we get all connected up into somebody. Because you're connecting to a part of them you really like. Amen? The captivation of somebody's soul and heart. It takes time to find out what's underneath. That's why the Bible says it calls a hidden thing. I thought jump off of that ad. I'm talking about wisdom. Because wisdom likes to search the hidden parts. You get wisdom upon your life, and wisdom will start searching the hidden. The Bible calls it hidden for a reason. Keep my word. Lay up my commandments with it. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. That is an art, my friend, to keep God's word as the apple of your eye. There are forces that you don't understand that will war against that. Proverbs 7:3, bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. You got to get her close. Why? Why would you do all that? That they may keep you from the strange woman. Uh-oh, here we have another woman. It's the war of two women. I need your understanding to move out of looking at these verses as natural women right now and look at them as what's controlling world systems, atmospheric systems, systems of the world. He's about to talk about the woman of the world system, the harlot. He says, they may keep thee from the strange woman, for the stranger was flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. Now both of them have a house. She has a house, but wisdom has a house too. Just jump over chapter 9 real fast. We're going to be intertwined between 7, 8, and 9 today. See, the harlot has a house. Wisdom has a house. The key is, whose house are you going to live in? Chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom is builded her house. He, the harlot, has a house. Wisdom has a house. She's hewn out her 7 pillars. I built a confessional manual called Framing Your World around those 7 pillars. James chapter 1, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That's humility. Full of mercy and good fruits. Love. Without partiality, equality. There would be no racism today if the body of Christ would live in wisdom's house. Because wisdom sits in the seat of equality with all men. Truth. 7 pillars of wisdom. Powerful. He says, she's killed her beasts. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens. What's all that? She has a house. That house is not of this world. And she's prepared a banquet table for you. That killed that beast, that's a good one. That's filet mignon. She's mingled the wine of the Spirit. A wine that's not like any other wine. A wine that brings joy to the soul and wholeness. She's preparing food and she's preparing meat. You want to know where revelation comes from? It comes from sitting at wisdom's table. She's preparing food for your spirit. She's preparing a banquet, alive. And you know what? I had a vision one time. I saw myself getting up every day. It was like I could see like a year in a row. This was the time that I was just going through the motions. I'd get up and go, get up and go, get up and go, get up and go. And I'd go take the wings of a morning, as the Bible says. And I saw every morning I did that, she was up like the proverbial 31 woman. There's a whole nother, I can't get to that today, but that's a whole nother revelation of what that means. That was wisdom's fellowship with you as a believer. She marries you as a believer. And she'd get up every morning. She rises a great while before dawn, prepares a whole banquet table in hopes that you would come and visit, in hopes that you would attend the table. And the patience that she would display when you would get up every morning and go. Now, I understand some of you got to get up. You got family and you got to get up. I get all that. Don't be under condemnation. You've got to get to work and that's just the way things are. But a portion, a part of your day to visit that table, because she's always spreading it in hopes that you'll come and visit. Amen. She doesn't administrate condemnation. She administrates love. Isn't that awesome? Now notice what she says here. This is powerful. Because these two women are going to get, they're going to go back and forth between 7, 8, and 9. And chapter 9 is a culmination. Notice where she sits. This is very important. Notice where she cries out. She has sent forth her maiden. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Say highest. She sits in the highest place. If you want to fellowship with her, Solomon found where she sits. You got to go where she is. What's the highest place in the known universe? Right hand of God. You got to sit in the high places if you're going to administrate with wisdom. If you're going to fellowship around wisdom, you're going to have to sit in the high places. You're not going to be afforded the luxury of being caught into the lower places with a harlot. Because she rules the dominions of this world. She rules the systems of this world. And she wants to rule over your life. But wisdom's price and cost is to be in the highest. That's where she spreads her table. If you want more of God, you got to get up. Yes, hallelujah. Put your finger in verse 4. Put your finger in verse 16. Watch the wording here. Verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Verse 4, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. Verse 16, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. There's two different women calling in those verses. One's wisdom, the other one's the harlot that's being spoke of in chapter 7. Watch what they say. Verse 5, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Verse 17, the counterfeit. The devil doesn't do anything until he counterfeits. He even calls the same call. He can't even come up with his own invitation. He has to counterfeit and mock wisdom's invitation. Word for word, verbatim. Wisdom says, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mingled. The harlot says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Uh-huh. Both of them got a banquet table. One of them wants you to eat some from forbidden fruit. One of them wants you to eat what's legal. It had not much changed since the garden. God said, eat from this tree. The devil says, eat from that tree. The two women are still there. Now Solomon sees this as an allegory between two women. One prepares and waits. The other one will come and take it by force. Wisdom will come and say, eat of my table. Drink of the wine. The harlot will come and say, come, partake of the stolen waters. Because everything the harlot does is in secret and it's hidden. And whenever you got to hide something, you're already in trouble. Look at verse 3. It's the laws of meditation. You have to meditate chapter 7, 8, and 9 together or you will miss the hidden secret of the book of Proverbs. This is where Solomon got his mantle. And this is what we've been after for a very, very long time. We finally found the house she sits in 4 years ago. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I just get excited about stuff like that. Look at verse 3. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth in the highest places of the city. Verse 13. The foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Did you get that? Verse 3, wisdom sitting in the highest place of the city, but the harlot sits in a high place. It's called the principalities and the powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. God of this world system, that's where the harlot sits. Wisdom sits above. And that's where you sit. Been raised together, made to sit together. And the body of Christ is going to do what they need to do. And recapture the mantle of Solomon in this hour. We're going to have to sit where wisdom sits. We have to get up there. We have no choice. I cannot be distracted. Some of you have chains around you. You're allowing people to shackle you and you don't know it. You got to get around somebody that has some kind of compass for God. Some people want you just to crowd you and build a monument to themselves. You got to get a compass. If you're going to hang out there, you got to get around somebody that's got a compass for that place. Otherwise, you're going to just get sunk, managed and controlled in a system of religion. Don't think he's good at what he does? Tell me a city right now has a full-blown revival in the United States. Just one city, one church. So she sits in a high place, but God sits in a higher place. Go to chapter 7. So let's look at the harlot. Then we're going to look at wisdom. Because wisdom promises a lot. One of the things I did when I was after wisdom, heavy in the early days, I didn't really understood that she operated out of heavenly tabernacle. I wanted so much for her to come here. And I realized I had to get where she is in her house, where she's administrating, where she's operating from. And that took a long time to get there. But because we asked for wisdom, so insatiably went after it in the early days, God open the door to where all this lives. Amen. And it may not be just growing off our limbs right now, but we know where it is. Amen. Proverbs 7, verse 5. Keep my words, verse 1, verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange, say strange woman. Same woman of chapter 9. From the stranger that flatters with her words, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement. I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. So here Solomon is positioned in wisdom's house, and he's looking through the casement and he's watching what's happening below. See, he's positioned. Solomon would never done what he did in the earth had he not been above the systems of the world, because he dominated. There was such dominion released during the government of Solomon. The devil had no control until he took him down. I remember a vision I had, a very powerful vision. I remember in that vision that, let me see how this goes, it's been a while. I saw, it looked like a log cabin type house. It was an older house, and it was an older type sink. And there was a woman looking out through a window, and I was behind her watching all this. I could always see her back, and she was looking in the window. I couldn't really see what she was looking at, and she was looking out through the window, and she was going like this, just with an intensity, and she was inwardly screaming, "No, no." She was looking at something so intensely with such a warning, and I couldn't see what it was. And I remember I was moved up to the window in the vision, and I saw in the window there was a 4-lane highway with cars, trucks going through. I mean, it was a freeway type thing right in front. I mean, it was 10 foot in front of that house. And there was this little child on a tricycle, a babe. Did not understand how to navigate. I remember when we were in Galveston one time, mom had went across the street, and we were coming off the beach, you know, the seawall, and you know, all those cars park, and Carson kind of, he was real in, and he walked up to me. I grabbed his hand because I knew as soon as he saw mama, he was gone. He had no idea to watch for traffic. So I grabbed his hand really tight, and sure enough, man, he went to jump. Because I knew, and there's cars, they don't see you because those cars are parked. And that tricycle, she was trying to warn that babe on the tricycle and screaming at the top of her voice, and he was pedaling right into the path of destruction. And I watched him pedal right into the path of destruction. Just slaughtered, and she dropped her head like that. And I knew instinctively, I asked the question in the vision. I said, why couldn't that child hear you? And it was immediately told, because that child was on the outside of the house. And he goes, you'll never hear clearly if you're not on the inside. Because both of them have a house. One of them will force you. And there are things that they do. There's things in the system of this world that none of us have a full handle on what's thrown against us. In the early days, we were revival, revival, revival. We had no idea the spiritual adolescence, the level of adolescence we were walking in. Well, we were thought we were big shots. We got some anointing people falling out. We got some teachings. We got some wisdom. What's the problem? I see other people you're using. We got what they got. Wasn't like that. It took a long time to understand. We learned it a lot by the school of hard knocks. That's why shepherds can see when they tell you something. You ought to listen. Especially if you walk in the spirit, because they can see. We're here for a reason. Sometimes we don't tell you everything. Just because you see everything don't mean you go tell everybody. Amen. You can't. Sometimes they don't have the ears to hear yet. So you pray for them. Amen. Verse 6, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. The biggest issue we have is when we think we know and we don't. That's the hardest ones. The unteachable, they already know everything. They think they know. Sometimes some of them will rise up. They think they know so much that they actually think they could run the church better than you can. And when you don't do what they tell you to do, they leave the door. And sometimes when they leave the door, they end up struggling for year after year. And you'll hear and you'll talk to them and they'll struggle. They walk around in circles. And they'll say things like this. I still haven't found what's going on in there. I'm thinking, why don't you come back? But they can't. Because they can't justify the pride. Because they'd have to humble themselves to realize they may have been wrong. We're all going to miss it. Amen. If anybody in here has never missed it, God bless you. Come lay hands on me right now. I mean, put some oil and slap it on me. Verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. That was his first mistake. Stay away from her house. Even if you can't hear clearly, God has given you a built-in mechanism as a born-again believer, providing you have not already severed it. It's called a conscience. He gives you a spiritual intuition. Now, it's easy to walk over that. But if you'll listen and get sensitive to that conscience and not let it get hardened against you, that conscience will tell you, even though you don't understand everything, the conscience will tell you, oh, you better hold off with that person right there. You better keep them at bay. Be nice. Love them. Do not pull them in. Don't go do that. Get accustomed to red light, green light, yellow light. Red light, don't move. Don't move for a long time. Yellow light, proceed with caution. Green light, go. You got to get your lights working in there. You disobey those lights, you're losing one of the greatest ways that God can lead you, warn you, and help you as a believer. Red light, yellow light, green light. Learn to listen to the conscience. It will speak. Even though you understand, a lot of times our mind will override what God is speaking because he don't always explain it to you. He just gives you a red light. No. The red light says, no, no. But my mind tells me it can be awesome. Why not? Man, I can't tell you how many why nots I've been through. Why not? And I just threw caution to the wind and jumped out there. And you know, when you jump out there, it's great for a little while. See, I knew it. It's just me. I'm in there for about a month or two and everything's going well. The danger doesn't show up immediately. You got to go down the road a little while. You're getting set up. It's a fool going to the correction of the stocks. You got to go down the road so you get way away from that original temptation was set to move you out of a position. Move you out of a focus that you had obtained. There's a lot of things after. The number one thing God is after is your focus. You have to be single-minded and your whole body will be full of light. If thine eye be single, your whole body is full of light. After 2 months, bam, 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 bam. God, why did you let this happen? Try having 6 of those at one time. That'll break you. I like peace. I like harmony. I don't like ambition no more. Ambition will get you in trouble. Ambition will override all your spiritual senses. God gets ready to bless you. He's well able to open a door. You can't run fast enough to keep up with him. The key is learning when God puts you in fifth gear and when he pulls that lever back to go back down into regular drive and you're still wanting to go in fifth gear. If you're a racer, I'm a racehorse. I just love to run in fifth gear, but I haven't had the wisdom to run in fifth gear. I'll just tell you straight up, I make too many mistakes. I want to run in fifth gear. Hopefully one day I can. I have enough wisdom to do it. It's going to take a whole lot of wisdom to run in fifth gear. Because you'll make mistakes. When we're getting the building product, God put the grace on you. You're getting fifth gear and you're running around. You're running. All of a sudden the grace lifts you, but you don't know it lifts you and you're still wanting to run. That gets you in trouble. That's wisdom. Passing through the street near her corner, he went to the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, that's where she dwells. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. Listen, she knows how to get your attention. She knows how to get the attention of your flesh. She's not going to show up without already having examined what makes you tick. She's going to know how you respond. She knows exactly what motivates you. And she's going to put it right in front of you. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the street. She lieth in wait at every corner. I know that's not good news, but you must understand something. When you're getting breakthrough, she's already preparing how to take that away from you. As soon as you turn the corner and you're going, hallelujah, there she is. Hallelujah, there she is. Whoop, there she is. Whoop, there she is. She's always going to be there. That's why you can't afford to be a young man void of understanding. You're going to have to get wise quickly. Be sober all the time. Have your fun wide open, eyes wide open. I'm celebrating glory, but I'm watching too. I'm building a house, but I got my shield up. Put another brick down. When God was going to choose Gideon's army, he was reducing them to an army that was what God wanted. You know what qualified for them? When they went to drink the water. The ones that went down and went like this, disqualified. The ones that got on their knees and were watching and they would pull the water up, they were always watching. That were the 300. They never lost sight. They never lost focus. There's a reason why they put those things on the blinders on the racehorses. They want them looking one way. Everyone looks straight ahead. Booyah. Your trials tend to teach you a lot. That I don't want no more of that pain. They tend to develop obedience in you rather quickly. So she caught him and kissed him. Verse 13. With an impotent face said to him, I have peace offerings. I come in peace. Yeah, sure you do. This day I've paid my vows, therefore I've came forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. She's going to come up out of her house. See, wisdom never leaves her house. The harlot always leaves her house to get up in your house. The harlot would just might as well, if she can, park right up into your inner circle. She wants to park up into you if she can. She wants to get her system into your life. Am I talking to anybody today? I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with a fine linen of Egypt. Whatever it takes to get you into her bed, her place, that's what she's going to do. Come, verse 13, let us take of our fill of love until the morning. Say, until the morning. See, the harlot wants you to partake of love, and morning comes, you're bound. God says you might have to weep all night, weeping endure for the night, but joy is going to come in your morning. The harlot is going to give you pleasure for the night, but then you're going to be bound for the next 10 years. God might have you go through the wilderness for a night, but you're going to wake up with joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's a reason why we're back into these verses right now. Because I think graduation's at hand. You walk a little softer. A lot more humble. A lot slower. God has two speeds, slow and slower. Every once in a while he'll have that suddenly speed. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, she forced him She'll force. She won't come in force in the beginning. She'll come in temptation. I don't know. We don't really know what's out there. That's why you desperately need wisdom, because she'll alert you. I hear so many revelations on why Jesus waited before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, you know, he wanted Lazarus to die so he could get the glory. God doesn't think like that. He waited 2 days. They brought him the news, Lazarus at the point of death, and he waited 2 days. And you get all these revelations of why he waited. But if you really meditate it out, why he waited, chapter previous, the Jews had laid a trap for him. They'd already tried to kill him, and they were going to try to kill him again. And they were laying a trap, and he saw the trap. He saw the enemy strike Lazarus, but he knew that they were going to, on his way there, they were laying another trap. He goes, do I not walk by the light of the day? Are there not 12 hours in the day? Do I not walk by the light? Even at the cost of one of his dear friends dying, he would not override that red light. He knew there was a danger. He had to wait for that to subside. And then, don't you love Jesus? Even death itself didn't move him. He went on in there and raised him right out of the dead. Hallelujah. How powerful. We have to walk by the light. See, in this world, you can be walking along and you'll see a 50-foot crater in front of you. You'll see traffic. In the spiritual world, you don't always see that. You don't know, you might be walking right up in front of a demonic freight liner. You don't know what's out there. None of us do. That's why we have to stay close to God to understand and stay close to people who know God. Get connected with the right people. Amen? Some of you are very alone. You don't need to be alone. Pray that God will connect you with somebody. Pray he'll connect you. Don't go connect yourself. Pray that he connects you with somebody that sees, understands what your next step is, understands the dangers around you, that loves you when they see your weaknesses. Because not everybody you come up into will like your weaknesses. They'll love your strength, but they might not like your weakness. You need somebody that loves you all the way around, that sees everything and says, oh, I love you. He goeth after a straight way, verse 22, to a dart strike through his liver, verse 23, and the bird hasteth to the snare. Look at verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong, anointed men and women have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. I can assure you, this is not just talking about some harlot that stands on the street over there. Now, this is awesome right here, this chapter here. Chapter 8 is one of the most phenomenal chapters in the entire Bible. Notice what she says, verse 1. Just described all that harlot. Notice how chapter 8, verse 1 starts. Does not wisdom cry? And understand and put forth her voice? She stands at the top of the high places. And here's what she's saying. I know what the harlot's offering you. I know the systems that you have to go through and the temptations that she stands at every corner of your life. I know what she throws at you. I know the persecutions. I know the afflictions. I know the cares of this life. I know everything she does. How she motivates and pulls and wants to control your life. But I also, I want you as well. But I will not come out of my house. I will cry from my house. You have to come to where I am. That's what I missed in the early days of ministry. You have to come to where I am, but I will cry after you. I will send forth my maidens to get your attention, to come and dwell in my house. I'll protect you from her. And I got a few things I'll offer you as well.
I know what the world will offer you.
See, the world wants you to take the easy way out. Come take the fill of love all night. God said, come, and you might have to weep for a night instead. I'm going to wake up with joy in the morning. I am not waking up bound with shackle and chains. Verse 2, she stands at the top of the high places. Verse 3, she cries at the gates. She's crying. She stands there. Notice she doesn't leave her house. You've got to come to where she is. That's going to be your life. This is what Solomon found. He found more than just natural understanding. He found a relationship with wisdom, and he knew where she dwelt, and he learned to dwell there, and she unleashed everything. And Solomon understood the secret to who he was right here in this 8th chapter. Verse 6, hear, and I will speak of excellent things. You can read this later. I'm going to get into good parts. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. She don't have a problem with you getting silver and gold. She promises you silver and gold. She says, just don't seek it the way of the harlot. Wait for me to do it for you. Because you get it. The world's way, it'll bind you up. And you get it God's way. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. And last thing God wants us to do is have a shackle around us 1 year after promotion. He wants us to continue to sit. That's why he trains us to sit. Hang around with people who sit in the right places. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions. I started with a dream my partner had. I don't know how many patents he has. Multiple patents. Multiple. I think 50 or something. Knowledge of witty inventions. But even now, what that dream was about, that he died to the old wilderness life, and he was born in a new mantle, and now wisdom is covering him. He's encased in wisdom, and he's ready for the next level, because he's got a big job to do. And so do you. You got a big job to do, my friend. She finds out the knowledge of witty inventions. You know what a witty invention is? Velcro. Microsoft Windows. iPads. Witty inventions. You name it. I have a constitution on witty inventions. I don't even have it in there. Somebody else wrote it for me. They got all of my constitutions. Traced all the witty inventions from the 1600s all the way up, put them in the Constitution, all the different medical inventions that came out, everything. And all these people knew the Lord. You can believe the modern day society, how much the Lord gave to his people to have the lifestyle and the technology and the understanding that we live in. The light bulb. Boom. She's saying this. What she's saying is, I know if you will escape the world and its system, this is what I'll give you. If you'll come to where I am, if you will dwell with me, if you will fight the good fight, if you will not be distracted, if you will not turn to her house, but you'll set your heart to find my house, if you will listen to that dude named LaRue Atkinson and learn about the right hand of God, that's where she lives. Verse 14. Look what she gives. This is a powerful stretch of scriptures. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings rule. Princes decree justice. The kingly anointing that's going to rise is going to rise on the wings of wisdom. By me, princes rule. By me, nobles and all the judges of the earth, I'll give you judgment. I'll give you the ability to rule. I'll give you the ability to reign. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early will find me diligently. Riches and honor are with me. Do you see that? It's not wrong to have riches and honor. Money is not the root of all things. Root of all evil, love of money. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit's better than gold, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of right decisions. Do you see that? That word judgment means right. I lead in the paths of right decisions. She'll set your life with right decision making. Your life is a product of your decisions. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. See that? You're going to inherit it. You're not going to work for it. You're going to inherit it. And I will fill their treasures. How would you like to have some treasures filled instead of getting paid on Friday, paying your bills and eating bologna sandwiches from Monday to next Friday? Or Top Ramen, or however you make your $20 left over stretch. I'm going to close with this. This is a very important part. I'll give you some things to ponder here. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. Wait a minute. The Lord possessed me? I thought the Lord was wisdom. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning or ever the earth was, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, the hills were brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth. Look at verse 26. While as yet he had not made the earth. Who made the earth? John 1, the Lord, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made. Wisdom said, I was with him when he made the earth. While he had prepared the heavens, I was there. First person singular. When he set a compass upon the depths, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains deep, when he gave the sea his decree, I was there, I was there, I was there. Two or three of the most important verses you'll ever hear are right here. Verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Godhead in perfect fellowship. Together. A perfect picture of the Godhead in perfect fellowship. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. What member of the Godhead is with the sons of men? The mighty Holy Ghost. Who is with him in creation, brooding on the face of the waters? The mighty Holy Ghost. Solomon found the Holy Ghost. But he found that part of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit's the most sensitive of the Godhead. Like the Lord, the God himself said, do not vex my Holy Spirit. You'll get in trouble. Jesus said, say what you want about me, but do not say it about him. Don't blaspheme him. Talk about me all day. I'm a man. But he's carrying the sensitivity of the Godhead. He is sensitive. He could come in like a feather. I mean, just a whisper, but all powerful. Unload power into a room and raise the dead. But he moves in with a whisper, and you gotta have the sensitivity when he moves through. To know when he's just shifted the service and you're out doing your own thing now. The Holy Ghost is much like a woman. Sensitive, quiet, but powerful. He can be moved, grieved, and vexed. See, I mean, the Lord
Father God and Jesus, they take a lot. Jesus said, say what you want about me, I don't care. Holy Ghost, don't do that. Because he's so sensitive.
I believe Solomon saw the Holy Spirit, but it was a relationship. And he saw him like that. I was with him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. My delights were the sons of men. We have to know God in a much greater way. Man, he can be moved, he can be grieved. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. See where you got to be? At wisdom's gates. Not the world's gates. Where is her gates? At the top. The high places. If you're not willing to sit at those gates, you're going to miss the greatest gift God ever gave you. Waiting at the post of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life and obtains the favor of the Lord. She's building her house, hewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. Well, she can serve up some kind of filet mignon. She served this one up. I saw a vision in the early days. And I was out on a pier, out on the water. Unfortunately, this vision was me. I wish it wasn't me, but it was. And I was walking out on the pier. And I was walking with this woman, this incredibly graceful woman. She's beautiful, graceful. And I hugged her and I kissed her on the cheek and just told her how much I loved her, how much I loved being with her. And she turned to go talk to somebody and I turn around and bam. This was a vision. Everyone say vision. There was this woman. She had jet black hair. Early day vision. I don't get visions like this no more. I'm an older man now. This was back in my 20s. She had bright red lipstick. In a picture of worldliness, she was a complete knockout. Man, she walked right up to me. Baby, we weren't married this time. She started kissing me with them bright red lips. And you got to get this picture because I'm actually watching me do this. I turn around and wisdom comes up from behind the lady I was walking with. And I turn right around. And I have all this lipstick all over my face. I just got through giving my affection to this woman. And I turn around and I tell wisdom how much I love you. I love you. And I had all this lipstick. And I felt how hurt she was. She was teaching me something in the early days. He goes, the problem is, you think because I'm God, I don't feel. But I feel 1,000 times more than you ever can know. He goes, why do you think I was so upset with Israel when they played the harlot against me? When I gave everything to them as a covenant nation and they rose up and gave their life to the world. And he called them a harlot for it. He was angry with them and put them in captivity. It takes a lot to get God upset. But he showed me that vision that day. He said, my people do that all the time. They just don't know it. And he goes, you've done it. He told me back then, he goes, you've done that many times. When you go and turn your love to the world. That's what young people do, void of understanding. When you get older, you learn to respect God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of your walk with wisdom. You learn to respect Him.